that name, that stigma is something that has stuck forever, and that'll never change, no matter how much they do tomorrow. But even after they knocked all the houses, they haven't put anything where they took the houses out, so it's just like barren land. Like the down at Pineview, there's a few couple houses left, and then there's nothing done about it when there's young couples or single mothers or whatever who could need that jump up, and it would be really handy and easier for them if they could get a council house.
When a program is failing the kid growing up, how is the kid supposed to prosper and learn from that? Oh, sure, I can't be not sure because I'm living in my ass and I'm labelled a little animal or whatever the case may be. But that kid is actually a really good kid. It's probably a stereotyping situation in her that it's not going away, and it probably should have gone away for that kid down to regeneration.
Well, people probably look down on top of her and say, look, oh, my ass is this, my ass is that. Like, this is a lovely place. Like, you know what it is? I'm living here, what, 23 years? Like, you can get up, brought up the bad way, and you can brought up the good way. Like, you know what I mean? So I got brought up a bad way, but I put this up to ourselves, like, to put our head and mind into it. Like, you know what I mean? Keep ourselves on the right path.
Like, what do you think of the whole regeneration project that the government are doing?
I think it was a flop, anyways, if you ask me. I think that there's nothing after being regenerated. Maybe a couple of new footpaths. The road is after being paved, that's all. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a big unemployment rate out here, like, because there's no factories, there's nothing out here. We're just, like, cornered off in the countryside, and they're saying, keep them in there or happy.
Tiernan O'Neill is the principal of the local primary school Corpus Christi here in Moyross. The school is located right in the centre of Moyross, and it is considered to be the heartbeat of the community. Tiernan has been working in the school for the past 20 years, so he's seen it all. I asked Tiernan about the implementation of the regeneration programme. Where has progress been made and what needs to change?
The regeneration programme began in 2007 here in Moyross and in other areas of the city, and I suppose it was an acknowledgement by the state that they had lost control of areas. The issues that were here 13, 14 years ago, it was incredible to think that we were actually living in 21st century Ireland. When you look at the scale of issues that was prevalent here in the community, and thankfully we've come a long way. But I would always say that the baseline was so low from where we started that we have an awful long way to go yet to ensure that we can maximise the life opportunities for the children here in our care.
It was quite a low baseline from the beginning. What do you mean by that?
I suppose when I think back to 2007, Chief Fry would have been the home school community liaison coordinator here. And in my role at the time, I would have been calling to the homes of many innocent families. You know, back in 2007, they would have been sleeping on the landing at night times because it was the safest place to sleep in case a bullet came through the window. You would have been calling to rows of homes where the vast majority of them would have had steel shutters on their windows in case a petrol bomb came through the window. Absolutely. The place has been transformed. But again, it's within the context of that exceptionally low base.
Give us an idea of what the issues are here at the moment.
Like in many communities around the country, you know, lockdown has, I suppose, amplified the issues here in the community. Homelessness, mental health, addiction issues, they're prevalent in this community as they are in many other communities. And one of the issues that we would see here that have been exacerbated by COVID is the levels of overcrowding here in the community. That has come about as a result of the scale of demolition. Over 500 houses was knocked here as part of the regeneration process, and only 45 housing units have been built over the last 14 years. That's led to massive overcrowding in homes. You could have 3-4 generations of families living in the one home, so that could lead to 12 or 13 people living in a 3-bedroomed house. You know, as you can imagine, the impact of that on online learning. It was, for me, it highlights the digital divide that we've heard so much about. Online learning is not going to be a priority in a home where there's 13 or 14 people. You know, for us, I think that in terms of the physical regeneration of this community, we need homes. You know, we have families living in hotels, we have families living in direct provision centres, we have families living in student villages, wholly unsuitable for the needs of children in 21st century Ireland. It's quite ironic when you hear of the issues we have around at the moment around mandatory hotel quarantine, and we hear about young people who've been kept in isolation for 10 days. We have young people here living in similar conditions for 2, 3 and 4 years. Their story hasn't been told. I think it's really important that we don't forget that the levels of homelessness that we have in this country, yet as part of this regeneration process, we've knocked over 1,000 social houses here in Limerick City. It certainly doesn't make sense to me.
This demolition of houses in the community has led to many issues in Moyross, including overcrowding, something which has worsened throughout the pandemic. Bridie has lived in Moyross for 21 years and has raised her family here. The past few months of lockdowns, restrictions and homeschooling have been tough. I went down to visit Bridie alongside Jason Craig, the Family Support Coordinator for Corpus Christi Primary School.
Well, I'm living here and there's six of us inside a three-bedroom house. I have three beds in one room, but you know what? It's still a roof over our head. I won't complain. There's people out there that don't have a roof over their heads.
This year, with the pandemic, everyone has found it a bit claustrophobic, kind of up on top of each other. People don't have anywhere to go.
Terrible it was. And then we were just crowded up on top of each other.
You know, they would have been doing school from home for a while there. What was that like?
Terrible, love. They wouldn't even get up to do it for me. I'd be honest with you. They were on holidays. Oh, I'd love it to have a room in their own. Because you'd know them which one was making the mess. So the one child wouldn't be getting blamed all the time.
Jason, you would have worked with Bridie in terms of the housing situation.
Bridie's a very outgoing parent and we're very fond of Bridie in the community. And there was an issue at the time where her daughter was seeking accommodation and I suppose the school kind of stepped in to support them around that. At the time there was 10 people living in the house and we could tell there was a lot of stress and anxiety. Fortunately, we found accommodation and that is something we see across the community. The last time I looked, I think the school have housed 14 families in the last 16 months. Like, that really shows to me the issues around the mass overcrowding, the mass demolition that has occurred, that you have a primary school that is housing 14 to 15 families.
Having that support from Jason, just how much does that mean to you?
Oh, it was very good. Now, he done everything. He's done his best for every one of us. The government just said, shum, the place has been shut down. That was it. It was all right now for the first week or two. But when it got on to months and months, oh my God, the stress. What they knocked was beautiful homes. They knocked perfect homes that they could have just let families into it.
So that must be very frustrating when you see that. You see all that space. Because
the children lost friends. They didn't just move them from the area down to another area. They moved them, say, to the Hilltop, Cardavan, no, Raheen, Carbley, all to the posh areas. Because the government failed my rats for years. For years did it.
Do you feel cut off from the rest of Limerick?
Of course you are. Sure, there's a wall over there, it's like the Berlin Wall. Cardavan is blocked off from the Maras area. So we're all human beings, like, we all have mothers, we all have fathers. We all have the same thing in a woman and a man has. So why block us off, like?
When you see that wall, what?
It's a disgrace. I think that wall should be knocked down and let the whole place be free. So, I mean, maybe the children from Cardavan, the children here might mix and make up friends and stay friends for a long time.
We are now at the entrance to Pineview in Denmage Park, and I suppose, as you can see to the right here, just
Jason Craig grew up in Moyross, and now he's the Family Support Coordinator in Corpus Christi Primary School. Jason was appointed to the role in 2019 and soon found that 90% of the issues he has to deal with are around housing.
I'm dealing with a multitude of different people coming in. You know, it can often lead to family breakdown because they're all on top of each other. And I suppose it's tough. It's because you're trying to give people hope here, and you have people who are on housing lists 8, 9, 10 years. They're not seeing any of the bills coming in. Now, I know we're moving into a different phase now where there will be bills coming in, but there's a lot of those will still take 2 years, 3 years. So that's not much good to somebody who's saying to me, you know, I'm trying to get up and hold down my job, but I'm sleeping on a kitchen floor at night. I suppose I'm just in awe of the resilience in the community, that people can get up in the morning, they can get in to their jobs, to get into college, and, you know, it's just they're really beating the odds, and I just marvel at the resilience that they have.
So you grew up in Moyross, didn't you?
I did.
What was that like?
Good. So it's made my job easier in some ways, because I know a lot of the families and a lot of the parents are here now would have been friends of mine when we grew up, but I have very fond memories of it, you know. It's just really decent people who were there, you know, really friendly neighbours.
How did you become a family support worker? Why did you want to do it?
Like my own history, you know, there was a period there of, I suppose, long-term unemployment. Probably wasn't confident enough in my abilities. And I reckon that comes back to my own childhood. I lost my dad very tragically when I was younger, in similar ways to, unfortunately, other people have. And I suppose when I look back, there was just come a time where I suppose I just got very impassioned about this stuff, because when I see kids and their parents, you know, doing amazing jobs, trying to bring them up the best that they can, and not being fully supported when we have a regeneration program with millions of euros. And I'm thinking, how are we still at this situation where we have one street, 120 people, 10 houses, and that's, you know, that's across the community? It just drives me crazy, really.
At the end of another school day here at Moyross, I caught up with a father collecting his kids at the gates.
I got 5 kids going to this school, Corpus Christi. I got special needs son, which I have no place to... I don't have a home in this at the moment.
Just even give briefly why that's the case.
I was in a relationship with my children's mother. No, we're not in that relationship anymore. That's ended. Our best intent is to make it as simple as and easy as possible for the children. At the moment, as I said, with the housing situation, if you look around, you'll see there's houses closed up everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know what the situation there is with the regeneration. It's just like beating my head against a stone wall, going up different avenues, trying to find access to people, government bodies, if you like, make my journey with my children easier, find my place, myself a place that they can go.
Do you mind me asking where you're living at the moment?
At the moment, I'm staying with friends, so it's very awkward. It's a one-bedroom bungalow.
And how long has that been going on for now?
Coming up to a year, maybe.
Okay. You know? So that must be so difficult, especially it's when you have the good small kids.
It's very difficult with this. As I say, my youngest has special needs. I'm his main carer in that situation. He won't go to school without me, and we can't change his routines anymore. His mother's very good. She helps on that side of it, mm-hmm. very much so, you know.
Are you on the housing list?
Yes, I'm on the housing list. I've been approved the housing list. I've been approved the children as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm just waiting now to see what availability is coming up. Mm-hmm. There's great people in Moyras.
Yeah.
Great people who are willing to step up and help, you know.
And are you happy that your children are growing up in Moyras?
Yes, I am, yeah, very much so, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're in, to me, one of the best schools in Ireland. Now, I know Moyras has a reputation as well.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe someday some people should come down and see the good side of Moyras and the good part that's happening in it. You know, there's a massive amount of stuff going on here.
Homelessness has been a major issue in Moyras for the last few years. Here's Shane's story.
Well, most of the time growing up in Moyras, most people wouldn't be told how to go out and work, how to go out and do something to make it feel good with their lives. Most of Moyras was always reared up to live off the dole or live off loans or... There was never options there for young kids growing up in the lines of what to do when to leave school, and we all got involved in horses when we were kids, you know. Only for horses and certain type of animals, we would have never had nothing to do in Moyras as a hobby, you know. In Moyras through the years, like, growing up, you would have seen a lot of violence, a lot of trouble. You'd always know in the area from seeing the girls around there was something happening, you know. And if I had someone around me to show me how to work, to show me how to... get out and how to try to look for a job. I have a 10-year-old boy at the minute, and as he's coming of age in life, like, I'd prefer to have all this sorted for him to show him the options is there for him and he's not stuck in the situation we were back in the 90s.
Chat to me about your situation over the last few years and what happened.
In 2013, my landlord sent a letter to the house stating that he was splitting from his wife and the property had to be sold and things, and my HAP contract was just going out of date. I became homeless in 2014 in the middle of getting custody of my then 4-year-old young fella. I tried to engage with city councils, regeneration services. No one wanted to know me, and it wasn't until I contacted Corpus Christi School in Moyras, I received help. I was a year and a half living in a trailer. I was a year and a half living on couches, and I was 12 months living in a hotel.
What's that like, especially with a young lad?
A road like that is a long road when it comes to trying to pick up the pieces with a young child with enough going on in his own life, and trying to encourage him to get out of school, trying to encourage him that everything's all right, you know, and... It's not easy, but everyone gets there, you know. Thanks to the lads in Corpus Christi School in Moyras, we're housed in Cardavan. We're there 12 months at the minute. I'm looking forward to following the employment road at the minute.
What would you like to get into in terms of employment?
Anything along the lines of construction, the lines of driving machinery, any kind of work really, just to get going once I have a chance now in life.
Your son, what's it like for him growing up in Moyras?
He's a happier child since he's housed because he knows he's a home to go back to. He knows he's a home to wake up in when he's gone out to school. He knows that everything's all right again, you know.
Did you really feel for him when you were in that situation over the last few years, how it might have impacted his childhood?
Yes, definitely. I seen him hurt a few times. I see him talking about things in his head. It's not right for any child to go through bits and bobs like that, you know.
And what would you like to see for him when he's your age?
If I get into work over the next couple of weeks, I'd like for him to look at me in a couple of years and say, my dad had a long road with me and I'd like to be where he is now someday, you know?
There is a big stigma. There's teenagers that never step foot outside of Moyras. They never went into the city because they feel like there's nothing there for them. Really? They feel like they're not being accepted. because it's like we're outcasts out this way, you know. Do you know what I mean? It's just mad. Like, it's just, there's all the development that's going on in Raheen and Castle Dry and all those areas, but there's nothing happening out here for people.
So it's nearly like you're forgotten about.
You hit the nail on the head, miss. We're forgotten about out here. That's what's wrong. We're forgotten about. Well, only Gardaí is not forgetting people. That's about it, like, you know.
There's opportunity everywhere. There's great schemes and stuff. To be honest, my Ross probably has the best schemes, but it's the situations that kids can be in. Like, the opportunities are there, but it's the people that they could end up growing up around. Like, but that's something that's been going on for years. So that's down to the parenting, I suppose. Like, your opportunities are there, but you have to make sure that you, as the parent, that you're giving them the opportunity to use the opportunities.
Yeah. What would you like to do when you leave school?
I'd like to be an electrician, or I'd like to be a builder. That's one or the other, like.
You know, you see the scramblers going around there and you see the horses. That seems to be one of the big things for younger people around.
We have lots of facilities around here. We have academies that can help us, but at the moment with COVID, we can't really go down. But
yeah. Do you think Moyross gets a bad name?
Well, sometimes it does, but we're going to make the best that we can out of it and do what we can and make it a good place.
Some of the locals there speaking to me about what it's like living in Moyross in 2021. Rémy O'Halloran of Speedline Engineering is the only employer in Moyross. He spoke to me about the job prospects that are here for young people.
I'm involved in business out here in Moyross 38 years now. I'm not saying that as a boast, but I'd say it's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace that I am involved in a business here with no other businesses around me. There are schemes, but a scheme isn't a career. It's not a job. There isn't a day that passes that some woman will ask me, is there any chance that her young fella or daughter has any chance of a job? The council, I'm not saying it's government, but what I am saying is somebody is responsible. Somebody needs to stand up and say, we need to get jobs. Recently, 15 different small contractors in Limerick created a massive thing within regeneration areas because they all got work. It was so successful that it was suspended for some reason. What the social clause does is it gives the local builder, he automatically go to the local guys that are doing work. It doesn't exist. And Limerick City Build started in 2008 because we realised we weren't getting any of our jobs.
In relation to City Build, explain how that came about.
The group that I'm involved with are very much involved with the youth. If you're on drugs or coming off drugs, in prison, out of prison, we'll try to get you something. We've had 126 start-up companies since 2008, 240 employed, probably more now. And what our hope then is, we have an incubation. It's an industrial place where we'll bring guys in. If you had a business idea and you come to us and you can't afford your insurance or assurances and everything else, we'll pay that for you and we'll get you a job. At the moment now, I'm dealing with two young guys and they're off the drugs. They got caught up in the drug system because they're self-medicating. I am from a working class area and it frustrates me completely to see young men caught up in that. They really don't have a choice. People think that they have a choice. And then the controversial thing is they condemn the young fellas that have horses. If there was a saddle on the horse or a cap, oh, it would be brilliant. I'm down below near fields and I see those young fellas. The love that they have for the animals is unbelievable. And they're all being tarred with the same brush. Some of those young fellas are dedicated. One young fella told me it's the only friend that he has, a horse. It's like this is the forgotten part of Limerick.
One of the first things that strike you when you enter Moyross is the amount of horses that are dotted across the estate. It's clear from chatting to the locals just how important they are to some people.
Keep the head down with the horses. That's the main thing in Moyross is horses. Like, anything happens then, like, we all go crazy. But the pound comes in and takes them. Like, even takes the ones that's tied up in the field with rugs, warm blankets on them, with feed next to them, hay next to them. They're minded, they're well looked after, like, you know, there's after all our hard work and money into them and all, like, you know. Gets up at 8:30 and it goes back to, like, probably 12:30, like, I goes to sleep and then back again with the horses.
Really? So are you just working with them all day?
All day, every day. Horse washing, breaking them, going them to foals, to big horses, getting ready, prepare for races and stuff like that, road racing and all, like, you know.
And is that what you'd like to continue into the future?
Yeah, it's like the kind of, listen, it's keeping my head down, it's keeping me out of prison, like, you know, so look. I was a jockey before up in Kildare as well. I went to race up there.
And you mentioned like about keeping out of prison. Do you think that happens to a lot of young lads around here?
There is. Like, you can get brought down the wrong path. It's easy. Like, it's easy enough. I've been down the wrong path. I've been on the good path. Been down the bad path again. Back on the good path again, like, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like from myself, like, from growing up around her, I was getting in trouble with the guards. My mother was getting evicted of me and stuff like that. And then I started getting into the horses there with Claire McCann down there. And then they sent me off up to the Curragh. 10-month child come home once a week. So, and then I got kept on them by a proper trainer, Conor Dwyer. Professional jockey as well, like, he was. He won the Gold Cup and stuff as well. I got kept on with him as well. But I came back here. I was in a relationship that went wrong. So, and then I went on the drink and whatever. And then I went a bit crazy. And then all charge sheets and all. But, you know, I have horses to keep my head occupied again. I'm back with the horses, so I keep my head down, like, you know.
Do you think there's enough opportunities for jobs for people around here?
There's not really. Look, you can see yourself, like, there's all fields, like, with nothing done to them, like, you know. Like, there's houses there, they're all getting knocked, like, they should put, like, some sort of equine something or something there, like, they'd generally be well looked after, like, you know. Yeah. Well, people probably look down on top of it and say, look, oh, my loss is this, my loss is that, like, this is a lovely place, like, it genuinely is. I'm living here, what, 23 years, like. You know, like I said, you can get up, brought up the bad way and you can brought up the good way, like, you know what I mean? So I got brought up a bad way, but I put this up to ourselves, like, to put our head and mind into it, like, you know what I mean? Keep ourselves on the right path. Like, only for horses, like, I would generally be locked up for the rest of my life or probably in a hole. And they're my main things, like, they're like babies to me, like, you know?
This affinity with horses can start from a very young age. Here's Callum, who hopes to be a jockey someday.
Callum Quinn.
And you might tell us who we have here.
Splash.
Splash is?
4 years old. A mare pony.
So she's about to foal?
Yeah. Keep checking on her and keep feeding her and make sure she's water.
Have you had horses since you were young?
Second day I came out of hospital, I got set up on a horse's back. I have a picture of it.
What's it like growing up with horses?
It's good. Good, like, it's not born. There's always fun in it.
You nearly have a friendship, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I feed her every day. Like, if my dad turned the corner and he whistled, he wouldn't come to her. But if I whistled, she'd know my whistle. Then when I call her. Come on, girl, come on.
You're on the equine program. What do you do in that?
We go out to the thing. We go out there and we muck out and then we brush them down. And then we go into the arena doing jumping and do the cross country and all that.
What would you like to do when you're older?
Be a jockey. Because it's fun. Like, I'm growing up with horses. I might just do it.
Would there be a lot of work in them this time of year?
Yeah. Like, you can brush them, like, not to keep the fleas or sores or anything on them, and check them every day so there's no cuts or rat burns on them or anything. And then they feed them, like, you make sure they're healthy and all, and they're not thirsty every day. What? Mostly in the winter, though.
Really?
Because you have to keep them warm and make sure they're healthy every winter.
Yeah.
In the summer, it's all right with the grass because you can let them out, but when this rain and you have to keep rugs in them, and because the grass goes all, like, soggy and all, so...
Something else you'll notice across an evening in Moyross is the use of scramblers in the area. But Moyross Youth Academy has attempted to turn this into something positive.
Hello, my name is Damien Gavin and I'm an employee of Moyross Youth Academy. I'm one of the lead facilitators of the Moyross Motocross Club.
So for people who might know, we might just explain what motocross sport is.
So basically, motocross sport is off-road, shall we say, bike competition. Scramblers, bikes all ranging from 65s up to 450s and so on. It's a huge part of the Moyross culture. The people kind of love the adrenaline. So we have identified, going back a few years now, that it's something we need to address because it's become a big nuisance for the community with the noise elements, the lack of due care for their own safety, for the safety of the community. We kind of applied a solution-based approach. We established the Moyross Motocross Club.
There can be a bit of negativity around, you know, scramblers. There is kind of a safety issue there. So it's using it in a positive way.
Definitely. So that's one of the things we identified, and probably one of the most important things we identified was safety, was being able to do this in a regulated way. We require funding through the Garda Youth Diversion Project, and we use that then to buy the safety equipment, the helmets, the back protectors. Like, we wanted to do this in a field where if the boys or the girls came off the bikes, the impact wouldn't be greatly effective. It wouldn't be leading to long-term injuries. Now, it's a dangerous sport. The lads see it with the adrenaline that comes with risk. So, but we want to do it where the safety outweighs the adrenaline.
This is the main model, okay?
The Moyross Youth Academy has also developed a 12-week programme. It allows locals to learn their craft with the hope that it will lead to employment.
So at the moment there's 5 lads here from the community. So I suppose it's to build up the basic skills to get them into the employment market. And I suppose it's about getting them up in the mornings, coming in and building up the confidence in themselves and their abilities. And I suppose, like Andrew will tell you here, the manager, in the few recent weeks they've been here, the quality of the work has just improved immensely. And I suppose that lets the lads realise, geez, I can actually do this, I have a skill in this. What we want to say is, like, not only you have a skill, but you could possibly have a career.
For anyone listening, they might not know what's here. So we have bathrooms, what else?
We have bathrooms, we have tables, what else have we? We have boats. So they have their own pod. So I suppose it's very efficient even in times of COVID, but you have the whole bathroom, so they're learning how to tile the bathroom, how to do the cuts around the corners, how to put in the toilet. Because for a lot of the lads, you know, without these supports in the beginning, it would never be an option. So, you know, a 12-week intervention could literally move a young lad into long-term employment.
Father Pat Hogan is the parish priest in Moyross, and previous to that he spent a decade in South Hill. He's witnessed the Limerick Regeneration Programme firsthand.
But I think one of the big mistakes looking back was that we actually focused on the four areas as if they were the problems, that they were the cause of their own problems, and we came in to regenerate them. But we actually never kind of focused in on regenerating the state agencies that allowed it to happen and that maybe oversaw the happening of it and the growth of it. How have we allowed this to happen, and what is wrong with our agencies that we were on top of this? The big word that the people of South Hill and the people here would have used, especially in the early years, they were abandoned, that nobody would respond to them, that no state agency, whether it be a council, HSE or Gardaí, would take them seriously with complaints. Phones weren't answered, but there's a big thing I mind is we don't want to really name the problem, because that will make too much of an effort and call for too much change.
Am I sensing a feeling of frustration from it all?
Sorrow that things could be much better, especially for children. Children deserve much better. Like, the school is there behind us, and like, there's horrific stories of what children have to put up with, and they should not have to put up with that.
Philip Power has been a resident in Moyross for 44 years and is chairman of the local football club, Moyross United. I met him beside the 10-foot wall that is dividing the community from the rest of Limerick.
We're down at the back of Pineview Gardens, and what behind us here is the Berlin Wall, as it's been named here in Moyross. So a big wall that holds the Moyross between the student village here.
And when was this put up?
It was put up when the student village was built, it was put up. I think that was over 20 years ago now.
It's like, when you look at it, it's just this massive
monstrosity of a wall, to tell the truth. Yeah, just lumps of concrete seems to be slapped up anyway. A lot of residents around here don't like it. They don't want it gone, and I couldn't blame them. I live down the road, but I wouldn't want to be looking at that every day either. And the kids not to look at it. Danger, raise aware, keep out. Moyross Football Club, we cater for all kinds. We have 3 junior teams, consists of over 100 young men, another 60 ladies involved there, and over 120 kids involved from under 8s up to 13s.
Is football a big thing within the community?
It's the biggest thing, I say, sporting-wise, because any kid can get a ball and go down. It costs nothing. And we the kids most times can go in and play in our fields all day long.
What's it like in terms of facilities?
Well, we ain't got much facilities. That's the big problem at the moment. They're talking about building more houses here around Moyross. That's more families. That's more children. I mean, we can barely cater for the amount of kids and young adults we have involved already. I mean, there's a very true saying that if you build it, they will come. So we have 2 prefabs that we got through Regeneration Limerick City Councils about 8 years ago. Yes. For changing, there's toilets in them and just 2 free beds, but there's big problems around them. The floor is rotten. We replaced it already with plywood, but that's starting to rot again, and we refused funding at the time from the council to put concrete in there. So, look, we'd want to be happy. No, we didn't get this or didn't get that. But when the regen came in, the sun, moons and stars, that was promised. There's a huge report here done, the John Fitzgerald report, and we've got 2 prefabs. We're in the shadow of Thomond Park and the shadow of LIT, yet we really have no access to it because everything is walled off around here.
Sport caters as an escapism as well for, you know, maybe some addiction problems among people in the community too.
Oh, without a doubt. Listen, we had young lads that had some problems, and 1 or 2 of them that had been in prison. They got involved with us. We got them involved in the club, and they've never looked back. Some of them lads have got off the drugs. They've got clean, and they're fitness fanatics now. And sport is keeping them clean, and their mind is on the right thing now.
A few weeks ago, there was uproar about the Forbes article which referred to Limerick as Stab City. Here's Raimi O'Halloran again, the only employer in Moyross.
There are 2 Limericks. There's the beautiful Limerick, which I know it is, and there's the progressive Limerick, and I know all the beautiful stuff that's going on in Limerick, but I also know the dark side. But I wish that the people that are talking about Forbes come along here and ask the young people here about Forbes. I've heard of the Collinsons. Good luck to them. Brilliant. I also know 2 young fellas whose horses were taken last month and brought to the pound. their mother had to go to the credit union to try and get the horses back. There's a whole load of disconnect between the haves and the have-nots. I'm not saying that what Forbes are saying is right or wrong, but I am saying that you need to keep an open mind and remember when you're talking about Limerick, it doesn't stop at Tooman Park.